If you're listening on Spotify, you can scroll to the bottom of the episode where you can vote on our poll whether trading Anthony Simons is a good idea or not.
With a playoff game and then talk. I'm trying, Jennifer.
Rip City, what's going on? Another episode of the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. Thank you for listening. It's been a crazy day for me. I've been dealing with a baby that's been crying all day, so I'm kind of a little scatterbrained, but we hinted at what we're going to talk about in this episode, and I think we're going to just kind of hop right into it. I got Fawad here with me. Fawad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. Let's just get right into it.
So before we get into the meaty part of what we talked about on that last episode, you had brought up one thing as well, which is Gary Payton. You were questioning when we were going to see Gary Payton. And I think what, the next day after that, or maybe 2 days after that podcast came out?
Very shortly after.
Yeah, we get some breaking news that it sounds like Gary Payton is very close to, I think Dame said, was it Dame that initially said that he was watching him play?
It was Dame or Chauncey, I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. Which one? I think, yeah. Saying that he was participating in practice and doing 3-on-3 drills. And then maybe 1 or 2 days later, we get a message in our Discord from Randy. So shout out to Randy, who has a subscription to The Athletic, it looks like. And according to Shams, he said that in the next 1 to 2 weeks, we should see Gary Trent back out on the court. So with that being said, there's your answer. Well, who did I say Gary Trent?
Yeah.
That's the second time I've done that today. Okay. Gary Payton. Yeah. Don't ask me why. Like I said, I'm scatterbrained. Gary Payton. We're about to see him, and I'm very excited. I think we're all excited. So there's your answer. Gary Payton is going to be making his Blazer debut soon. Are you excited for that?
I'm stoked. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm ready to see the team defense. I'm ready to see if it improves, like, how drastically it improves, because it definitely is going to.
It's good timing too, because Sharp has been a little bit rough last week, 2 weeks. So, you know, yeah. Early on in the season, it was like, we can't afford to cut any Sharp minutes. But now, you know, we're a little bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah, he's definitely hitting his rookie wall. He's still providing highlight plays.
Last game, he was actually really good.
Yeah.
I don't remember how much he had, maybe like 12. But a lot of highlight plays, a couple of putbacks.
Yeah, a couple of putbacks. We're not going to do like a recap of everything, but last night we had Lillard go off. He almost broke the... I honestly think if the game was closer, he would have broke the NBA record for most threes in a game.
Yeah, I think so too.
He tied his season high, and he tied the franchise record at 11 at the end of the third quarter, and he was not missing. He was on fire. So if we weren't blowing out the Timberwolves, I think he would have at least set the record for himself, for the Blazers and for himself. But I do think he would have beat 14 or at least tied it. But enough on that. Lillard went crazy. We won. I think this is the stretch in the schedule where we're kind of excited. I think we're going to put together a lot of wins. That's something we've talked about in Discord. So if you're not in Discord, hop in there, because you're missing out. Let's get to what I alluded to at the very end of our last podcast. I am of the opinion, and this is going to be kind of a hot take, but I will explain myself a little bit. I am of the opinion that if our goal is to win now with Damian Lillard, if that is the ultimate goal, then Simons, we need to seriously look into trading Simons for some assets that help us. So first and foremost, Fawad, what's your immediate reaction to hearing me say that?
So last week, my immediate reaction, I was just in shock, because that was something that wasn't really on my mind, even though last season we talked about it a lot and both you and I were in favor of trading him. But, you know, this season it hasn't really I haven't thought about it at all. Part of that is just simply because the trade deadline is so far away. Mm-hmm. But also, he has been really good. He's averaging, I don't have it on me right now, but I want to say 24. His efficiency has been a little worse than last year, but he's not inefficient by any means. He's probably around league average. And he's been one of our only good shooters this season. It's been Dame, Simons, and Grant, like, providing probably like 90% of our offense. So, I didn't not think about trading him. It was just that that thought didn't cross my mind one way or another. But, this last week I've had more time to think about it. I've seen some other Blazers fans talk about it a little bit more now too. So, I'm a little bit more conflicted now, but since you brought it up, I want to hear your thoughts first.
Yeah, and first things first, nothing can even happen until January 15th because of his contract extension. So all of this is so far out in the future. Things can change in the NBA. Now, here's how I want to break this down. I by no means do not like Simons. I think he's a very good player. He's extremely young. He's got a high upside, and everything he's done for us this year has been exciting. So this is not because I do not like Simons. This is not because I don't think he's good. If we end up never trading him, I'm not going to throw a fit about it. I just think the right move is to trade him. So let me set those ground rules right now. So here's my thought process. We've already mentioned in past podcasts that we're afraid that it's kind of going to be, and it's a popular saying about this, a CJ 2.0 scenario. Me and you both agree. We think Simons is, in the long run, a better player than CJ would be. Do you still agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Offensively, Simons is gifted. Like you said, he's shooting almost 40% from three. He's 38%, almost 39%. Two from the field goal, like good Lord. His field goal percentage from the two range is a little bit lower at 44%. But, he can get to the basket if he needs to. Usually he can. He's a great spot up shooter, catch and shoot shooter. Offensively, he is very, very talented. Defensively is where the issues come in. And this is something we've always known. We've always known that he's an undersized guard playing out of position, playing shooting guard. He probably, his body type and his frame is more point guard suited. And even then at 6'3", he's probably still on the smaller side for point guards. But defense has always been an issue for him. And we've talked about how, defense is a lot of just effort. And I don't think it's effort. I just don't think he's a type of player that's going to put that effort on defense. I think it's mostly offense, and there's nothing wrong with that. So in my view of watching these Blazer games, which granted lately I haven't been able to watch as much, but to me, still our issue is defense. Has it gotten better? Yes. A lot better? No. Do we have players that I think are good defensive players? Yes. And we're getting Gary Payton back. Like I said his name right that time, so yay for me. We're getting Gary Payton back, so that is going to help. But you're running into the issue of, yes, Josh Hart can play the three, and he has done a pretty good job of playing the three. And also, I want to give Josh Hart a shout-out. He's been shooting a couple more open threes and passing up like he has in the past, so I've been excited to see that. So, but anyways, not to get sidetracked. Josh Hart can play the three. He's done a very good job of it. There's been times in his career where he's even played the four. I don't necessarily like that idea, but if needed, he could do it for a short period of time. If you trade Simons, in this scenario, I do not think the players that I'm going to suggest, none of them are guards, because in my mind, the best thing to do is to move Hart to the two, and you have either a three or a four that you're going to be trading for. Okay. You're going to help with your defense immediately, moving Josh Hart to the two and bringing in most of these players that I'm going to suggest are more defensive oriented than Simon. Well, not more. They are defensive, more defensive oriented than Simons. But, and like I said, this has nothing. It's going to hurt to lose someone that's averaging 24 points a game and shooting the three as good as he's shooting. I'm not doubting that at all. It's going to suck. But what we've said for the past 4 years, 5 years, offense has never been our issue. We have Lillard. We've got Jeremy Grant, who, in my opinion, and I think we talked about this in past podcasts, Jeremy Grant is, for us, in my opinion, he's the better option to be our like number two scorer. I would rather Jeremy Grant be our number two go-to guy. And I think it provides so much more for our team if he's the number two. So you're moving potentially the number three, 2A, 2B, like we've said. You're getting more defense-oriented. I think if you're trying to win a championship now, that's what we need. We need defense. We don't need offense. We have to capitalize on Simons while he's still young, while he's still got crazy high potential, while he's playing as well as he's playing right now. And we don't need to pull the CJ trade where we're, you know, the after the Western Conference Finals when we probably should have traded him, when we realized, yeah, this we got pretty lucky there. It sucked. We lost Nurk, but we still made it far and it just came up short. That was CJ's all-time high. Like, he was, after that Denver series, I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a time that CJ was wanted more by a lot of teams than at that moment. And that offseason is the offseason we should have traded CJ and gotten much better assets than we did. And we still got decent assets for him. I don't want to miss that window with Simons for a win now scenario. Now, if the front office is truly just about, let's try to win now, but still keep our future assets, you know, keep Simons, keep Sharp. If that's really their goal, then this trade doesn't make any sense. But what we've been told is they're trying to capitalize on the Dame window. And to me, the best way you capitalize is you're trading in your young talent for win now pieces. Toronto did it with Kawhi Leonard. They got a championship out of it. Let me ask you this, Fawad. Would you take one championship this year or next year if it meant losing Simons, losing maybe Nasir Little, losing, I don't think they would trade Sharp, but even maybe losing Sharp. Would you take one championship for that?
Without hesitation.
Me too.
So if we have a game and a championship, trade, you know, literally everyone else.
Yes, yes. I have no issue with mortgaging our future if it truly does mean we are an act like a truly competitive championship team. Like, I get it. It's going to suck after the fact. It's not going to be fun having to rebuild, you know, start from nothing and have to rebuild. But I will take that one championship and cherish that championship. And we all know Dame is like one of the most deserving players, just like Giannis was, of winning a championship just because of everything he's been through and everything he's stuck out. It just, to me, the goal is to win a championship. And if that means these teams that take these chances to try to win a championship, we've never really been like that. We've never taken a chance, traded our younger players to get more veteran, you know, oriented players. So, long story short, we, in my opinion, trading Simons to capitalize on his potential to either a rebuilding team or a team that's in need of a, you know, a younger point guard is the way to go to help give us a more balanced roster, help give us a more defensive oriented roster. While still, Simons is going to fetch you a good player. You're going to get a good player from Simons. There is not one young player that I think we should trade Simons for because it makes no sense. I mean, I don't know. Can you think of a realistic young player? I'm not like, Luka's obviously a young player, but you're not going to trade Simons for Luka. So, but is there a young player in your opinion that would help like immediately? That's realistic.
You consider young.
Somewhere around Simons' age, where if we were to not trade Simons and keep him for the rest of the, you know, for the rest of his career, is there a player around his age that you think would help more than Simons would?
And you like in a realistic range?
Correct.
I'm struggling to think of one. I'm sure there's someone out there that we're probably forgetting, but like, he's definitely one of the top guys.
Yeah. And it's not like it's not like we can't trade him for another young piece, and that young piece, I'm not saying like it's impossible, like if we trade him for another young piece, we're just wasting it. But to me, to get an established win now player to pull off a, I'm trying to think of like the last big trade that happened. Like, I mean, to pull off the good Lord, why can I not think of like a big time trade that recently happened?
Gobert.
I mean, sure. There you go. Minnesota, I mean, we all kind of thought that that was a strange trade, but there's an example. You have a team in Minnesota who made the playoffs last year, right? Or did they make the play-in and lose in the play-in?
No, they made the play-in, they won the play-in, and they celebrated like it was a championship.
That's right. Pat Bev was losing his mind like he won a championship. So they make the playoffs. They see, okay, we're still a couple pieces away, and they go all in and think Gobert's the answer. I think most of us kind of thought, no, that's not the answer. But they gave up a ton of assets, 4 first-round picks for Gobert. When was the last time you think, can you think of that we went all in on a trade trying to, like, win now? Was it Scottie Pippen? Can we think of something else?
I've been alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or, yeah, maybe not since I've been, like, conscious.
Yeah. If you guys can think of a trade more recent than Scottie Pippen where we kind of really tried to go all in and win, to me, that's the last trade I can think of that was like a buy-in, let's do this. So I just don't want to miss the window. I don't want to be... And here's the thing. If we don't trade Simons, there's not a window to miss because clearly we're committed to keeping Simons for the long haul. So if we don't trade Simons, it's not like the CJ scenario where 3 years from now we're like, oh, man. We missed the window, but let's see what we can get for him now. Like, if we don't trade now, we're committed to. If it's not this year or next year, we are 100% committed to him for the future. And that window of trying to win with Dame is probably closed at that point. So, all of that I just rambled on. I know it was a lot. Do you have any takeaways from it?
Okay.
I know it was a lot. I'm sorry. I went off.
It was a lot, but... very interesting, and it gave me a lot of time to think, and a lot of what you said is true. Simons is, on paper, he is one of the better options at his age, but if we're building an ideal roster around Dame, probably not there. But on the flip side, like you said, if we don't trade him, it's we lose nothing. He's still a good player. He'll get better. He's good enough to be on a contending roster. So it's a no lose scenario. Like we're good either way. I'm happy either way. But in terms of whether or not we should trade him, I think first and foremost, it depends on who's available. So that's what I was trying to think of, that whole time. A lot of people have mentioned Jimmy Butler. He's a good defensive player. He shows up in the playoffs. Mentality is something that's really needed on a championship team. He got to the finals. He basically willed the Heat to the finals in 2020, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he was one shot away from getting back there last year. And Miami's not doing so well. So in a world where they blow it up, he might be a good get. Although I don't think Pat Riley is going to trade Jimmy Butler anytime soon. But just hypothetically, I think he could be an option. Another one, the Clippers were doing worse, could have been Paul George, but seem to have gotten it together, and I think they might even be above us in standings now. I'm not sure. But so he's probably off the table. Who does that leave who's a 3-and-D, not even a 3-and-D, a two-way forward who's attainable? And I don't know, I'm just not seeing a lot of options. Like Jimmy Butler is probably the closest thing to attainable, unless you're like thinking like a role player level, like Kyle Kuzma, which I don't think would be worth it. I don't know who's out there that's both attainable and a good fit.
Sure. And but that's fair.
That's where I struggle.
Yeah, and so here's I've made it well known. I'm not a fan of like saying, let's trade Simons for this guy. Let's trade Simons for Jimmy Butler, because there's a lot of aspects that go into it, you know. And just straight across, you don't normally just see one player for one player. That's not normally how it works. There's usually picks involved. There's usually player, you know, cap fillers that come into play. So there's lots of things that can happen. And as I said at the beginning, January 15th is the first time we can do anything. So there's still a long ways to go before we could even do something. But with that being said, here's a couple players that me personally, I would be okay with. Now, this is not just like straight one for one. If there needs to be fillers to make it happen or to make it more, you know, if maybe this side needs more and the other side doesn't, this is just best player in the trades for each other. Okay. So you mentioned Jimmy Butler. I don't have an issue with Jimmy Butler. I do think that is, he's one of the players that was on my list. He was more towards the bottom just only because of, I'm afraid he's going to hit that decline wall and he's going to hit it hard. That's still a very, very good defensive player. And like you said, the mentality that he has, that's something that you want on your team. That's something that you want in the playoffs. And I think this year and next year, I still think he would be a very, very, very valuable piece to have. So if there was a way to trade Simons for Jimmy Butler, I do think I would be okay with it. But he's more towards the bottom of the list that I would be okay with it. Do you agree? Do you think if he hits, when he hits the wall, he's going to hit it hard?
Jimmy Butler, I think, most likely. I could see a world where he embraces a smaller role, and he has, you know, done that. So when his shot's not falling, he's more, he's a good facilitator. Like, he knows his limits and he's able to play different roles. So I do think that could extend his career, you know, a fair bit. But from the star level, I think he'll hit a steep decline. He'll kind of like plateau for a few years as a good starter. So I do agree, you know, this year, maybe one more, maybe two more, but I think most likely like next year is his probably last year as like, you know, an all-star player. He's 33 right now. He'll be 34 in September, just before the next season starts. You know, a lot of players don't stay all-star caliber into their 35th age season.
Sure.
But, you know, at the same time, you can make the argument that that's why we're going all in. We want to win this year or next year. The West is wide open this year. There's not one team that, you know, you think, okay, I think they have a good chance of making it. Right now, the top three seeds are the Pelicans, Grizzlies, and Nuggets. I don't know. I'm not confident in saying any of them are going to make the finals. So it's wide open. If you were going to go all in, this would be the year to do so. It's like in the East after LeBron left, there's like four or five teams who all have an equal chance of making it. That's kind of the situation going on in the West right now, except it's like six teams maybe. So yeah, Jimmy Butler, you know, you could definitely make the argument that even if he does decline in 2 years, 3 years, it doesn't matter if we already make the finals or if we already win a championship this year. So I think that's a fair argument for sure. That just, you know, at the end of the day, his longevity just factors into how many picks I'm willing to add, whether or not I'm willing to make the trade. But, you know, when it comes down to, am I willing to trade Simons for Jimmy Butler? It's tough because he is probably my second favorite. He's definitely my favorite non-Blazer, or not like non-current or former Blazer. So, like, I'm a little bit biased towards wanting him on our team. It's tough, but I think gun to my head, I do pull the trigger. I would make that trade, maybe one pick, and then filler, whether that's Hart or Nas. I don't think we can trade Nas this season anyways, actually, but you know, like Hart or maybe even Sharp. I'd probably do like Ant and Sharp if whatever needs to be done. But I would be like a little bit hesitant, I guess. It's not like if the offer's on the table, I'm hitting it for sure. I'm slapping the yes button. I probably say yes. I just think that it's not Okay, the goal of an all-in trade should be you're guaranteed to make at least the conference finals and you have a good shot at going to the finals and winning the championship. Mm-hmm. I think 100% if we have Jimmy Butler, we're just as good as any other team in the West. I think conference finals is definitely within reach, and I think finals is within reach for sure. So I think just based on that, I think that risk would be worth it. But at the same time, I think there's a good chance that it wouldn't pay off. But, you know, a lot of people, I think it sounds like you might feel the same way, but, you know, a lot of people think having that good chance, even if we flame out and we don't win, all in on a move that's realistically can push us into that contending caliber is worth it, even if we don't make it. So
100%.
That's where I struggle, because I don't know if I agree with that. Some days I do feel like, let's just go all in and whatever happens, happens. But the other days I'm like, let's play it safe, you know, maybe next year mm-hmm. we can find a trade. That's where I'm struggling right now. I think, you know, like I said, ultimately, if the offer's on the table for Simons and, you know, a little bit of filler for Jimmy Butler, I think I make that trade. The defense would probably be a lot better with him. I know he would energize our team like crazy. He's shown up in the playoffs time and time again. So I think there's a lot to like with him. One biggest concern, not, you know, really about Jimmy Butler, about making trade for Simons, like trading out Simons specifically, we're already seeing how not, you know, we're a deep team, but we're not that deep offensively, I feel like. And if you get rid of our second best shooter, maybe third best, like a top three shooter, and one of the only good shooters on the team, offense might struggle a little bit, because we have Dame, who's a reliable three-point shooter. Grant has been good this year, but overall he's just, you know, a decent shooter. If he regresses in the playoffs, we're not really left with anyone, you know, we're not going to rely on Sharp to be hitting shots in the playoffs. So if we trade Simons for Butler, who's going to step up? Who's shooting threes? Who's spacing the four? I would probably want someone else back in return as well from Miami. Probably not Hero, but, you know, maybe a role player or other asset that we can flip into a shooter. I don't know. I'm getting, like, way ahead of myself. That's way down, not even down the line. It's just,
well, and all of this can be, like, there can be a three-team trade, a four-team trade, you know. You can have multiple aspects to a trade to help. And I agree. I get what you're saying. We are losing a massive piece offensively. Like,
yeah.
No, there's no denying if Simons leaves, that is a big hole to fill offensively. The only thing I look at, though, is the massive hole Jimmy Butler would bring defensively. The hole he would fill defensively. Yeah. Like, he would boost the defense just right in that sole spot right there. So much more than it already is. My whole thing with Jimmy Butler, when I said the decline hits him hard, offensively, I think decline, when he hits the wall, it's going to hit hard, but the good thing about him is he's a defensive player. That's an effort thing, mostly. So, and he's a smart player. So, you know, even when he does decline, his defense will still most likely be there. He'll still be a valuable piece defensively. But in this scenario, you have Dame, you have Josh Hart at the shooting guard, you have Jimmy Butler at the small forward, you have Jeremy Grant at the power forward, and you have Nurk. That is a very, very good starting five.
100%.
You have Gary Payton coming off the bench, playing defense. Like, defense most likely will not be an issue at that point. And like you said, Miami's struggling right now. They're the 10th seed, 13 wins, 15 losses. If they do decide to try to rebuild, you know, I don't know how old Bam is off the top of my head, but Simons would be a good piece for them. I think it is a reasonable scenario that you could trade Simons for Jimmy Butler in some way. Here's my next one. And actually, I'm going to give you my number one. I think I don't, it's close. They're all pretty close. But when I first thought about, like, players that I would be, like, okay with having and that were somewhat reasonable, this is the player that I first thought of. The Chicago Bulls are booty right now. They are struggling. If you've seen Twitter, if you've seen Reddit, there's a lot of people talking about how Chicago probably just needs to kind of blow it up and start over. DeMar DeRozan, in my opinion, is one of the, for one, he's one of the most clutch players in the NBA. But I think defensively, he's at least average to above average defender when he's not having to be offensive, you know, just Damian Lillard be the only offensive option. So in my opinion, DeMar DeRozan would be a player that I would love to have for Simons. If we were to decide to trade Simons to Chicago, who's rebuilding, they get a young point guard, shooting guard, however they want to view him. You get DeMar DeRozan, who is getting old, but he is still a very, very, very valuable piece. So, Fouad, DeMar DeRozan, how do you feel about that?
This one's a lot easier for me. I don't consider that for 1 second. I've pretty much always been, I don't want to say anti-DeMar because that's a little harsh, but I don't really believe in him as a winning player on a championship team. I think, you know, he has been clutch since he's been in Chicago. I'll give you that. But before that, he was not clutch at all. He's a notorious choker. He always plays worse in the playoffs every single year. I don't think he's someone that can be relied upon. Defensively, I think he's... I would give you average. I don't think I would give you above average. I think, you know, unless he's guarding guys smaller than him, but like if you want him to guard the opposing three, I think he's just average. And he's, you know, he's not going to fill a hole in our defense like the same way Jimmy is. So, you know, I
agree. This is more of a player that's going to fill the offensive void and still be a decent defender. Whereas I feel like Jimmy Butler is more of like fill the defensive need badly, and then offense is probably going to take a little step back.
His offense, I mean, it's good in the regular season, but it never carries to the playoffs, and he can't shoot, so that's hurting our spacing. And if his shot's not falling, he is a good playmaker, so I'll give you that. But his shot, you know, it doesn't fall in the playoffs. He, you know, look at any single Raptors playoff run. He's always underperforming. He's, you know, shooting poorly. He's just, I don't trust him one bit in the playoffs. So I wouldn't.
Well, and that's fair. You have watched the Raptors more than I have, and that's where most of his playoffs and, you know, most of his games were. But I do want to say this. I'm not huge on defensive rating because I really truly feel like this is something me and Fouad talked about before the podcast. I feel like defense is hard to put in a rating. Like there's so many factors that go in defensively that just doing a defensive rating on players is hard. He has a 113 defensive rating. Right now, Simons has 117. So, and looking at like the best like defensive ratings, like 110, 109 were like the best. And those were like Giannis and, I'm wrong. 104 is Giannis. So he's at, what did I say? 113. And Jimmy Butler is at 109. Take, you know, if you guys like defensive ratings and you think it does reflect well, by all means, I'm not arguing it with you. It's just so hard for me to be like, just look solely at defensive rating and be like, yes, that's a good defender. That's a bad defender. I do think DeMar DeRozan, he's shooting 50% from the field. Like you mentioned, he's not a very good three-point shooter. He's 31%. But you have, once again, you have Damian Lillard and you have Jeremy Grant. I think those two are your one and two options. And then DeMar DeRozan is that 1-2A, 2B kind of thing where he can, if you need him to offensively, he can score. Playoffs-wise, really the only time I ever really watched him was when he played with the Spurs, I think, is when I really was like watching him in the playoffs. So you may have more of insight on him playoff wise, but I think that's a player that I would be okay with trading. But here's one. I'm going to give you another one. And this is one I know you're going to be okay with. And I am okay with it too. And this is just as much as I'd be excited for DeMar, I'd be just as excited for this. And this is a younger player actually too. And it's one we've talked about many times. OG Anunoby is another player I would be, if that was a scenario where we could get OG, I would say yes, sir, to that one. So how do you feel about OG?
That's a good question. I've thought about trading for OG a lot, but I've never thought about trading Ant for OG. So I
and this is a little bit harder because Toronto has they're in a weird area right now. Like I had a hard time saying, yeah, this is reasonable. And like you've mentioned before, Toronto's always the type that's like they have to win in the trade if they're gonna do a trade. So it does make it difficult. But I do think OG is a player that I would love to have on our team and I think would help us. So sorry for interrupting. Go for it.
Yeah, I think I'm like OG a lot, but I think I'm a little bit lower on him than, you know, most people are. But, you know, I 100% see why that would be a good fit for us. He's, you know, he's probably already in the top three for a defensive player of the year, like in the race right now. You know, an insane defender. He can guard multiple positions. He's locked down. He's not even like just a good defender. He's legitimately one of the best defenders in the league. So there's a lot to like there. And he can shoot. That's good too. And you know, even scoring, it's okay. He can't really create his own shot, but he can get points, you know, through cuts, putbacks. There's a lot I like about him. Why I'm a little bit hesitant is, you know, one, he can't create his own shot. He's, I think he's been getting a little bit better, but still, like, I don't think it's reliable at all. And even his shot has been a little bit more inconsistent this year. And I think last year just was not great, but I'd chalk it up to injuries. He was, you know, in and out a lot last season. So he shot 36 last year, which was, you know, by far his low. Not by far as lowest, but it was considerably lower than the last few years. And now I'm looking at it, and he's shooting 33% this year. So his shot has fallen even more. So, you know, that's a little bit of a concern. Not really a concern. It's just one factor in the, you know, the con column of whether I want to make this trade. But he's leading the league in steals with 2.4 a game. And he's still averaging 19 points. Like I said, he can get his points. He can do, you know, a little bit of everything, but I don't know. It's this is a really tough one. I think this is like truly equal value, Simons and OG Anunoby, and I think OG fits better too. But for some reason, I just feel a little bit hesitant. Even though Simons hasn't done anything in the playoffs himself, I just feel like he would be.
Simons has a better ceiling than OG does.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. I think he has a better ceiling. I think OG has kind of more or less his ceiling. He'll get better, but I don't think he's going to be too much better than what he is right now.
They're like you said, OG is very good defensively. Very, very, very good. Whereas Simons is very good offensively. Where I see the difference is, I would say OG is still a decent offensive player, and I would say Simons is a terrible defensive player.
That's 100% true. But I would argue that perimeter defense isn't, for a guard, isn't as important, even though, you know, obviously 100% is and has been one of our biggest issues over the last few years. I just think that if as bad as he is on defense, if someone was as bad as that on offense, I think, you know, you would take Simons because one, offense has become more valuable in the league, and that's two, fair. You know, a bad wing defender or especially a bad center, but, you know, that's not part of this conversation. But a bad wing defender is much more detrimental to your team than a bad perimeter defender. And, you know, you can look at our teams in 2019, 2018, where they weren't great defensive teams except for that one year. But they were, you know, much better than they were. Never in the bottom like 20s. They were like low. They were like 16, 18, 19. And that was because we had two wings who were good defenders in Harkless and Aminu. Even though Dame and CJ were there and they were terrible, and Dame was even worse than he is now, we were still much better in defense. So that wing defense is a lot more important than Simons. I mean, or than any guards, but Simons, his lack of defense is only a negative. I don't like only a negative, but I don't think it's a liability, is what I'm trying to say.
Because of his offense making him such a valuable piece on that end of the floor.
Yeah. But ultimately, where I think I have made my decision is that I think that Dame would probably get OG better shots in our system than he's getting there. We saw that with Jeremy Grant. You know, he's getting such good looks now. He's part of a good offense. You know, it's a lot more free flowing than I think in Toronto, especially where he's what, the third option, maybe fourth, depending on Vidieri Trent's hitting. So I think having a more consistent role and getting better, consistently better looks, I think that could help his offense. So I think ultimately seeing that potential of him being put in a situation where he's more likely to succeed, I think I do make that trade and for OG. But I think 100% I wouldn't add any picks, so it would have to be straight up for me.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you. I think this would probably be one of the more difficult trades to happen. But you just reminded me of something, a player I didn't even think of. What about Siakam? If Toronto decides, like, maybe we need to blow this up, what about Siakam?
That's where I thought you were going when we started this segment. Yeah,
Siakam. Yeah, I totally spaced him.
1,000,000% I would throw in a pick, maybe two. Literally, my only concern would be Grant and Siakam both play four, but I'm sure Grant will be just fine playing the three.
Yeah, I think Grant can play the three easily.
I used to have issues with Siakam too, similar to DeRozan's issues, but I didn't think his shot creation was great, and I thought his decision making used to be really bad. But like halfway through last season, he kind of just flipped a switch, and I feel like he's so much better now. And it was just like all of a sudden, like his decision making is so good. He makes great passes. He has a bag. He can score in multiple different ways now, but it's not just a spin move and like that's it. He can score in multiple ways, and he's been so consistent too. I think he fits us amazing. He's a good defender. He can score. I think he's close to an ideal fit.
And I totally spaced him until you literally said that OG's like the third or fourth scorer, and then I was thinking like, who's the other ones? And then I'm like, oh my god, I didn't even think about Siakam. So
I talked about it in the podcast during the summer, but definitely in our Discord, I was like, trade the seventh pick and like a couple feature ones for Siakam. Like I wanted him badly.
Yes, I would have been fine with that. So for what it's worth, OG's defensive rating is 109.9. And Siakam's is 112.1. So, like you said, OG, lockdown defender. Siakam is still a very good defender, and he's good offensively. And like you said, I see him as the four, and I think Grant could most definitely play the three easily. My last one, and this one is kind of, this one might be a little surprising to you. And I'm not 100% sold on it, but I do think I could warm up to the idea of this. And maybe not. Maybe I'm crazy. So tell me if I'm crazy. Don't hold back. John Collins.
For Simons, no.
No?
No. If there's another trade, maybe, can't trade Nas anymore. But if, I can't think of a trade that works with our team, but I do think he would be a good... I just don't think there's a way to get him without overpaying, or unless we like completely stole him.
So you think Atlanta wouldn't want to give him up?
I do 100%. I think they would want to give him up, but they would want fair value, and I think we can either offer too little or like too much.
So you think just strictly Simons for John Collins is too much?
Yeah, I think that's definitely too much.
So my reasoning behind this is John Collins is very good. Let me backtrack. I'm not gonna say very good. Offensively, he can be good. I don't think Atlanta is using him right. He's clearly been frustrated with Atlanta. I think he's made that very clear. But defensively also, he's not a bad defensive player. He's actually pretty decent defensive player. He's athletic. He could play the power forward. Jeremy Grant would move to the three. You have Hart at the two. So it's kind of same scenario with Siakam. But like you said, it's for you, it's an overpay. And like I said, this is the one where I'm like, I still would probably need to be sold on it and need to see him play with us. He would probably be my last choice right now off the top of my head of, I think it would be OG and Siakam, then DeMar, then Jimmy. But I could flip between Jimmy and DeMar, and then John Collins would be the last one. Now, like I said, we still got a ways to go before any trades could even happen for us. So, you know, maybe Toronto plays very well or plays very bad, and it's more likely that they blow it up. Same with Chicago. Maybe they continue to play bad and they decide to blow it up. And same with Miami. They could decide, you know, they could all of a sudden start playing better and Jimmy Butler goes off the table again because they're playing well again. So there's a lot that can happen. I'm just still in the mindset, this long podcast now, I'm just still in the mindset that if we're trying to win now with Damian Lillard, trading him would be the best chance at that. Going in and finding a player that is like a win now player for us is the best option. Is it John Collins? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's a tough one. But I think with the rest of those players, I do think those are very good players that would potentially, like you said, the West is so wide open right now, could potentially put us right there on the top. And you mentioned Paul George. You said that the Clippers were kind of doing good. So they're 16-13. I would be okay with Paul George. Like you said, I don't know if the Clippers would want to do that, but if that were the case, wouldn't it be awesome to have Paul George on our team and have to watch Dame take all those bad shots? Although granted, he did claim, yeah, that was a bad take. It wasn't a bad shot after Dame made like 400 more of them. So, but I like Paul George. I think he's a good player and he's a good two-way player. So I would be okay with that too. So yeah, long story short, call me crazy. Some people have already. I think our best option is trading Simons. Not because I hate him, not because I don't like him. I just think if we're wanting to win with Dame, that's our best option.
And I can't stop thinking about trading Simons for Siakam now. If Raptors are struggling, and even though he is their best player, and you know, you would think they trade anyone but him. But you know, if they decide maybe Victor Wemby is, you know, too enticing of an asset, maybe they trade him and start to tank, and maybe he comes to us.
Well, and if you look at it, Siakam's 28, right? Which isn't old.
Definitely not.
They've got OG, who's 25. Scotty Barnes, who's 21. So both of those two players are very good players, right? You're adding Simons, who's 24. they have a... Oh my God, why am I forgetting his name now from that movie? Why am I forgetting Cruz. What his name is? Cruz, yes. They got Cruz on their team. So, I mean, they have a lot of good young pieces. They got Gary Trent. Crazy enough, I don't know if you heard this. Did you hear that they benched Gary Trent?
They did, but I think they brought him back to the starting lineup.
Did they?
When they benched him, he started playing well.
Yeah, they were complaining about his defense, how he kind of just stopped playing defensively.
I watched, you know, a fair bit of games, and he definitely... really rough to start the season, but when they benched him, he started playing better. I think he might have just made it back to the starting lineup because of injury, but he did start playing better.
Yeah. So here's the example. So say let's trade Simons to Toronto for Siakam. You've got, I forgot they had Fred VanVleet. So you got VanVleet and Simons. You've got Gary Trent. You've got OG and you got Scotty Barnes. Their biggest issue, I think, is center, which I think is clear, by what we just named there. They have Precious Achiuwa. I don't know how, like, I don't pay attention to the Toronto too much. I don't know how well he's been.
He's not bad, actually.
But center would definitely be an issue for them. But you're starting over with a young core. Not that Siakam's old, but you're getting a lot of young pieces around the same age. So they all kind of grow together. Gary Trent and Simons are reunited. Mm-hmm. They get to play for each, you know, take each other's spots over and over again.
New Damon CJ.
Yeah, but I'm just going to go back to it. I just think trading Simons is the best move if we're trying to win now. If we, you know, is it nice to have a winning, like have a competitive team each year? Has it been nice the last 10 years besides last year pretty much to have a competitive team? Yeah, it's been enjoyable. It's fun to watch. It sucks, though, when the season comes to an end because we don't make it anywhere past being just like a competitive regular season team. So I would gladly trade that, you know, 5-6 years of competitive basketball in the regular season and then losing in the playoffs for one championship, one finals run. So any of those trades I do feel like could, without John Collins maybe, but those other trades we talked about, I do feel like are trades that could put us in that scenario. So if you're listening still with this long podcast, please tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I'm not crazy. I want to know. I want your opinions. I put it on Facebook. I put it on Reddit. I put it on Twitter. I've got some responses on Twitter. I've got a lot of responses on Reddit and on Facebook. So I want to hear more. Am I crazy or am I not? And what did you have to say, Fawad?
And for Toronto, Van Vliet has been really rough, and like I'd say the majority of Raptors fans want to trade him, especially since he has a player option next year. So a lot of people think he's going to opt out and want, you know, like $30 million, which he definitely does not deserve. So Simons would
or even I think we lost you.
Am I back?
Oh, there you are. You're back. Yep, you're back.
So, you know, a lot of fans
want... You said he had a player option, yeah.
Yeah, he has a player option. A lot of fans think he's going to opt out and look...
We lost you like at the same spot again. I think what you're saying is he has a player option. A lot of fans think he's going to opt out for like $30
million. Yeah.
And doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, basically. So Simons would just, you know, come right in, take that spot either after the trade deadline this season or next year. He could lead their rebuild. That would be, you know, really good for them. I think I could see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, a team of Scotty Barnes, OG, and Simons, and throw in Gary Trent too. That's a good young core right there.
I would probably even throw in Sharp just to make that happen with Siakam, but I don't know.
So, yes, everybody, if you're listening, chime in. Tell us your players. If you have a player you think would be a good add. A lot of the comments I got were kind of the same players. Jimmy Butler, OG. Someone suggested DeMar and Drummond. I don't know if that would happen. I feel like we'd have to give up a lot more than we probably would want to for that. But, yeah, there's lots of people that are thinking the same way, but there's also a lot of people that the thing I hate the most when I post on Facebook and Twitter and all these is we get like responses like, no, no way. Well, explain why no way. Like, let us know your thinking. Let's talk about this. Just saying no, no way. That's your okay. That doesn't add any conversation. So please let us know. We want to know. We want to talk about it. I think it's a fun topic. I think it's an important topic. But I want to stress, I don't hate Simons. If we keep him, I'm happy. I just think our window to win now, the best is trading Simons. I've said that like 66 times. I'm going to get it tattooed on me, and we'll never forget it. Do you have anything else you want? I know this is a long podcast. Do you have anything you want to talk before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Everybody that's listening, thank you. Thank you for listening. This is now 3 podcasts in a row. We're on a roll. We ain't stopping now. So thank you for listening. We love you all. And as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.